Please stand and hear the word of the Lord. Reading this morning from Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 15, this is the word of the Lord. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Thus far the word of the Lord, and may he bless it to us all. You may be seated. Every mom and dad who believes in Jesus wants to bring their children to Jesus, and they urgently desire for the children to believe in Jesus and to follow him. In many instances, even parents who don't know the Lord still desire for their children to know him. They may feel that in the busyness of their life, they don't have time, they don't have room for Jesus in their life, or they may feel that they have sinned so much Jesus won't have them, which is a terrible mistake. So they don't come to Jesus, but they desire better for their children. So they allow the local church's Sunday school bus to pick up their children for Sunday school. They may even send their children to a Christian school. Or if they're in a public school, they want their children to go to the Good News Club, if there is one. So bringing little ones to God, bringing little ones to Jesus, the incarnate God, is a subject of very great interest. And that's what this story, this episode in the ministry of Jesus is all about. It's recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke in their respective gospel accounts, which underscores the importance of this subject to the Holy Spirit, who is the divine author who guided the human authors, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we're going to take a closer look at what's going on here, for we all want to and need all the help that we can get in bringing our little ones to Jesus. And this is a familiar passage. Over the course of the years, you've heard a number of sermons on this, but like all Scripture, it is inexhaustible in its riches. Now, you know, a basic aspect of interpreting the Bible is to remember that although the truth is the same in all times and places and circumstances, not all times and places and circumstances are the same. And so for that reason, it is helpful to know something about the times and places and circumstances in which any given passage is set. Likewise, with this story, in order to grasp more clearly the unchanging truth. Who were these people? Why were they bringing their little children and even their babies to Jesus, especially when Jesus himself was increasingly under attack by the religious authorities, even to the point of being in physical danger for his life? For in this very context, Jesus took his disciples aside and warned them about what was going to happen to him. Chapter 18 and verse 31, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Now, Jesus warned his disciples about this because if he is in danger, so are they, as his followers. And that says something about the parents who brought their little ones to Jesus. Ordinarily, parents don't take their kids to see a person who is in danger from the governing authorities. But these parents were willing to put themselves and their children at risk. Why? Well, remember that the whole context of Luke's gospel is the ministry of Jesus. He was constantly on the move, preaching that the kingdom of God had arrived and that God was establishing his reign in the world in and through his Messiah, his Christ, his Spirit-anointed King. And by his deeds, Jesus progressively revealed that he is himself God's long-awaited Messianic King. He reached out in grace and mercy and forgiveness to sinners and called them to himself. He manifested the power of God by casting out demons from people and setting them free. He manifested God's compassion by healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, cleansing the lepers, and raising people from the dead. And so these parents are responding to Jesus and to the gospel that he preached and to the manifestation of the grace and compassion and power of God in and through him. They had seen and heard enough from Jesus that they just simply boldly and confidently came bringing their little kids and babies to Jesus. And they were quite confident that what they wanted from Jesus, he would give to them. Namely, that Jesus would touch them, that he would place his hands upon them and pray for them and thereby place God's kingdom blessing upon them. And that's what they wanted. So they brought their little children, their babies. Luke, out of the three Gospels, highlights that. They were bringing even their little babies, their infants, to Jesus. Their approach was really quite simple and direct. They just marched right up, brought their little ones to Jesus. And so you can imagine their shock and dismay then when Jesus' disciples intervene and interpose themselves between them and Jesus and rebuked them and kept them away. Indeed, Jesus' response to his disciples, which we'll come to in just a moment, shows that they were not at all thinking like Jesus. And as the gospel accounts show, that wasn't the first time. You would think that being with Jesus 24/7, all the time and under his teaching, that they would really be in line with him, but they often just plain didn't get it, like now. Just like sometimes we just don't get it, you know. We're seeking to earnestly follow the Lord and trying to learn from his word, and sometimes we just we don't get it. And that's why the Lord has instituted the Lord's Day, where we come back before him week after week after week and work our way through the scriptures year after year and year after year. And we all experience that where a passage we've read many, many times and it just didn't particularly say anything to us, all of a sudden it kind of comes off the page and we're shocked and we're astounded by the riches that are there that we passed over so many times. The Spirit speaks to us through that passage. Well, may he speak today, indeed. You can imagine then Jesus's indignation, and in fact, I think it's Mark that actually says that when Jesus heard it. He was indignant. And that word isn't really used very often about Jesus. He was indignant at their behavior. It appears that their thinking was something like that Jesus is too busy with real-life adult issues, too busy with adults and their problems to be bothered by little kids and babies. The kind of real-life adult issues that were on the minds of all adult Jewish men in particular. For as you remember, the presence of the Roman governor and of the Roman puppet king Herod, and especially the presence of Roman soldiers in the streets of the Jewish cities, reminded a Jewish man on the street every single day that they had been conquered and that their land was occupied and ruled by an oppressive foreign power, pagans no less. Those were the kind of things that grown-up Jewish men were thinking about, especially with the heavy tax burden imposed by the Romans and by Herod and from the religious authorities, the Pharisees. Speaking of the Jewish religious authorities, the Pharisees, they were busy preaching the law, not the law of God, but the traditions of men, commanding the people to repent and do the works of the law so that they would be righteous before God, and then God would bless them as his holy nation again. So the disciples must have thought Jesus is very busy with adult real life problems like Rome on the one hand and like the Pharisees on the other. Surely he didn't have time for little kids and babies, but they were totally wrong. When Jesus heard what his disciples had done, he called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And then he went on to say, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." You see, Jesus didn't preach anything about Rome. Instead, as we have seen, he was all about the kingdom of God. He went about preaching that the kingdom of God had arrived. Indeed, it was being manifested in him and in his own ministry. The kingdom of God wasn't about political power like Rome was, nor was the kingdom of God about works of the law as preached by the Pharisees that the people were supposed to do to earn God's favor. No, the kingdom of God was all about who God is as he has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and about the mighty works of God in grace and mercy through his Spirit-anointed King Jesus to and for undeserving sinners. The kingdom of God was about Jesus proclaiming God's grace and forgiveness to sinners and setting them free from Satan's sin and death. And it was about new life through the grace and forgiveness of God. And these parents were among those who got it, even though the disciples didn't. And they knew that their children were their future, and they knew that the future was with Jesus, not with Rome and not with the Pharisees, and not with those who were consumed with those issues. So while Jesus was near and accessible, they boldly brought their little children and babies to him to be blessed by him. And that they were right is shown by Jesus receiving and blessing their children and by his words. And there's something more here. A testimony not only to those parents and to the little children, though they were probably too young to understand it yet, but to all the people down through the ages who have heard or read this story. And it's this: Jesus welcoming little children and even babies into the kingdom of God shows very powerfully that the kingdom is God's gift by grace. For these little children and babies could not do anything at all to earn or deserve or attain the kingdom. They were totally helpless to do anything. And as such, were a powerful demonstration that the grace of the kingdom, powerful demonstration of the grace of the kingdom. For as Jesus said, to such belongs the kingdom of God. That is to these little children and to all that are like them. And that's what Jesus meant when he went on to say, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." That's what's so hard for adults to get. They think that they must earn or merit or somehow attain to the kingdom in some way, but it's really a free gift by grace. Adults can no more earn or deserve or do works for the kingdom or do anything for the kingdom than babies can. But they can, like little children, like babies, receive it by sheer grace. Amen and amen. So now I want to work through just a few implications and applications for the church and for parents today. First, how do we bring our children, and even our babies, to Jesus? Those parents knew that Jesus was on the move and that he was nearby passing through their town, and so they got on it, and they got their little children and babies and went to him. But we can't bring our children to Jesus the way that they did, because he is now at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But the truth is that actually, yes, we can bring our children to Jesus. In fact, it's much better now for us because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, because Jesus has promised to come and to be in the midst wherever two or three are gathered in his name. Matthew 18, verse 20. How can he do that? He comes not bodily, but in, by, and with the Holy Spirit. In his days on earth, when he was with his disciples in Jerusalem, he could not be with his disciples in Galilee. But now, Jesus is bodily at the right hand of the Father and comes by the Spirit to be with his people wherever they are, and at all times and in all circumstances, and particularly when the Holy Spirit gathers the local believers in assembly for worship on the Lord's Day. So we can bring our children to Jesus where and when he has promised to be in his assembly on the Lord's Day, and in all times and places and circumstances. We bring them by faith and by prayer and by the Holy Spirit to Jesus. We bring them to Jesus to place his name and his claim and his promise upon them, the blessing of the kingdom, by baptizing them. And from then on, we bring them to the Lord to be taught and to be nurtured by him and by his bride, the church. We bring them to Jesus every morning in our devotions and every evening, and many times during the day, and in particular circumstances of need and our prayers. Secondly, we realize from Jesus' words that at whatever age a person first comes to Jesus, he or she comes as a baby, a new person in Jesus Christ. So it is rightly said that all baptisms are, in fact, infant baptisms. Therefore, all of us need to be nurtured in the Word of Christ, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And as Paul says in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, Christ has given the church all we need to grow up from childhood to full maturity in Christ. Paul says, Christ, when he ascended, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. See, everybody enters the kingdom as a baby. But God doesn't leave us that way. Christ nurtures us in his body, causes us to grow up to full maturity in him. That's what the ministry and the life of the church is about, bringing people to Jesus, to be born anew from above, and to grow up into maturity in Jesus. And then third, last, therefore, knowing that the most able and educated and successful persons in this world are no more able to save themselves than infants can, we invite all people to come to Jesus and to come the way these little children and babies came in their helplessness, to receive as a gift what they could never earn or attain unto, what they could never do anything for in and of their power to receive, but to receive it simply as God's gift of grace, and to begin a new life as a babe in Jesus and to grow up to full maturity in him. Thus far, the application of the word of the Lord. May the Lord indeed bless it to us all. Let us respond to the Lord's grace by offering ourselves and our gifts to him in thanksgiving.